Are you all right, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Can't complain. You know, look at liking your hairdo, Dave.
Yeah, I know. We just talked about this a minute ago, didn't we? We've got to make it funny again now. So, yeah, so I'll tell you a story, mate. What happened, right? It's a really weird story. I had some...
check lines.
I tried to liked it a bit longer. I got some graded clippers online, quite nice ones. And I watched a guy on YouTube and he was on about like blending your own hair. I thought, I won't take it off, so I'll just blend it in at the sides because it was trying to put my lid on at work, man. Yeah, it was like sat on top like that. I was trying to blend it. And he said, and this guy was dead good. He was like, yeah, and he's like this essence bloke. And he's like, yeah, do this and do that. And he's like the professional video of that, doing it all on his own, like changing the grading down. I spent about half an hour on it. And I looked in the mirror and my hair was like this. I was like, no, what have I done? Number one, see you later, guys. See you again in a few months.
Deal.
Got a roll with it, mate, didn't you? Look at that essence with a skinhead. So just like Jason Statham kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I said, mate, look at it. I don't even know. I think I'd look like a 50p head if I took my hair off. putting that on, mate.
putting that off. Get a bag on your head.
What are you doing? How can anybody's top of their head be so white? you look like you dodge a sun, you do, mate. It's dangerous outside, it's a bit warm.
It burns!
Oh, imagine me opening the fridge with no air on my head. Blister straight away. me, Max and Reese are having a grow off, and obviously
comb over, mate.
I'm actually trying to throw it back a little bit, but when I throw it back, I get a good old McDonald's sign as well. So I've had people coming up for an Happy Meal. So I ain't Mackey's, mate. I ain't not franchise. I do one. Someone called me Steve McDonald the other day. I was like, oi, back off. It's in Coronation Street. But we're having a bit of a grow off, and I think I'm losing at the moment. Obviously, I'm trying to use a bit of my chest there to stick it on my head just to give myself a bit more growth.
It's a hairy time in everyone's lives at the moment, mate. All the beauticians closed down and all that, mate. A lot of hairy people out there. A lot of Sasquatches walking about, me.
Everyone walking around like Cousin It.
Right.
So obviously you put up a post the other day about a documentary you watched. Well, let's have a little chat about this. This is probably, let's be honest, this might ruffle a few feathers. All right, but the best thing about this world, or should be the best thing about this world, is that people can have opposing views without trying to shut the other person down. So what we're going to do is, we are, and you know, if it does irritate some people, then maybe, you know, it might hit home a little bit, you know. And also as well, if you have got a different view to what we do say, then by all means chuck us a comment and we'd love to have a chat. But you know, obviously, so we're gonna talk a little bit about bullying, mental resilience in youth, and a few other points as well. So I've written a few points down after you posted the other day, Dave. So Should we jump straight in and do you start off and talk?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot you said, mate, it is a bit of a touchy subject, and I know it is because we were chatting about this the other day, weren't we, about doing a podcast about it, and I was like, you know, and you were like, mate, we've got to put it out there, because what you're saying is dead right. What we're saying is right. It's not, we're not making anything up. And it's anyway, so yeah, Jesse Nelson was a Little Mix, you know, lovely, lovely looking girl, doing really well. She's got to be a multimillionaire. They all have, haven't they, by now? She's got all the money she could ever want and she could ever dream of. She got trolled, and she's been trolled online for, you know, well, since Little Mix started, really, which is really cruel. Don't condone it at all. And these people want their arms and legs pulling off because they're just absolute wimps. You know, they're doing it, hiding behind a keyboard, saying horrible things to put people down, probably because they're really jealous. So that's probably the reason why they do it. Are you still there, mate?
I'm here, mate. I'm listening to you.
Yeah. Probably. You had one eye going to Tesco, the other one coming back with a change.
Don't stop it.
Yeah, so you know, she's been trolled and bullied and that, and it's absolutely awful. So much, and it's all this. It was all about the whole program, really, and it was sad. It was horrible to see, you know, because I've been on both sides of the fence with bullying as a kid. You know, I was a little bit troubled as a little kid. You know what I mean? And I didn't know, you know, without going too much deep into my past, I didn't know I wanted attention. You know, one of the ways I got attention at school a little bit was doing a little bit of bullying, and I got in big trouble from my dad. Nothing major, you know, ripped someone's school blazer, being a bit not very nice to some lad at school. And my dad grabbed hold of me, and he didn't slap me or anything, but he soon shook the bullying out of me, scared me a little bit by bullying me a little bit. And you know, he didn't punch me or anything. He just grabbed hold of me and said, look, this is not nice, is it? And I was like, whoa. And it was a good wake-up call for me at like 12 years old or whatever I was. So I learned a lot from that. And I was also on the side of, you know, brought up in a rough council estate in Leicester. I got bullied a little bit, you know, just getting filled in the street and that. You know, as far as I'm concerned, that's bullying. Didn't do anything wrong, got beat up. But, so seeing on that on both sides of the fence was a good experience for me. But then, so I'm watching Jessie, and she's on telly, and she's got a film crew with her filming it, and her mum's really upset, and her friend's upset for her, and she's absolutely, like, heartbroken and devastated that people are saying these horrible things about her being fat. She ain't fat. She's a beautiful-looking, voluptuous woman. Do you know what I mean? And I thought it was just really, really sad that she's taking that as deep as she is. So what? People have opinions, and the reason people are doing these things to you is probably a fault within them. It's not a fault within you. You know, they're picking a weakness in you and they're tapping away at it for whatever reasons. But who cares whatever the reasons are? It's like, you know, we have to become resilient within ourselves and the way that we think. You know, there's arguably 8 billion people on the planet. Everyone's living a very different original experience. No one will ever live the life like you're living your life. You know, it's all totally original. Your map of your reality is very different to everybody else's. So people have opinions. So what? So like, sometimes I'll say to them on Facebook, I'll try and be nice. I'll do something. I'll put a video out there or a nice quote, and somebody will comment on it, and not in a very nice way. And I'm thinking, why have they just done that? All I'm trying to do is say something nice. You know what I mean? It's like, but the thing is, I'll just unfollow, see you later, or delete. You know, I'm not bothered. See you later. I don't care who you are. You're gone. You know, I'm not having that. I just can't be bothered with it. That gives me that power to do that. But I don't go dwelling on it for ages and crying. I'm just like, it'll rev me up a little bit. I'll go, Dave, and I'll remind myself, Dave, everyone's got opinions and they're entitled to an opinion. But whatever reason they've said that is it's beyond me. I don't care. It's like, see you later. It's gone. You know, there's plenty of other people that are enjoying it. So I'm feeling good about it. And that was the crux of this, really, isn't it? Is to talk about resilience when it comes to people's opinions of you. So hand over to you a bit, mate.
I would say that I grew up quite a little bit rough around my areas, loads of scrapping, loads of things. I can remember going out, someone took the piss at me for being ginger. And I was like, and my mum was like, sticks and stones are gonna break you, sticks and stones may break your bones, you know, words will never hit you. And then my dad was basically like, look, mate, you've got to deal with it. You're gonna get names said to your ginger, you know. And it was, you know, and it's like when you realise that, you know, it's gonna be a bit of a touchy subject in it, because you know, people are gonna have kids who are getting bullied, you know. But I think one of the main things which I've listened to before was you change the world from within.
Yeah.
You know, and if you don't want to hear it, you know. So you said to me the other day, which was said that I think he said, her friend said, we should be going to all these people and telling them what we're doing.
Yeah.
And also made me think as well is that, you know, maybe also on, yeah, we should be teaching people, you should be doing this. You know, would you like this to be done to yourself, and turn that view around? What? Also on that point is you've got to sometimes as well speak to the people who are close to you and be like, look, this is going to happen. You know, you're in the limelight. You want it to be famous. You want it to be this, or whatever the reason is, you know, if you put yourself into this, let's be blunt here. If you put yourself into that situation, you are going to get people who are not going to like you. And that's life. You are going to, no matter where you go, it's like if you could keep going to a pub and you're like, God, every time I go to this pub, this bloke starts on me. And it's like, you know, why do you keep going to that pub? well, I like the taste of the beer in that pub, but does the beer in that pub taste the same as the other pub? Well, you know, we do sell the same drinks. It's like, then, you know, and it's the same with being on the internet, is don't read them, you know, for instance, on this case, is I won't read the comments, or I just read them and they're like, yeah, whatever, I'm loaded, I don't care. You know, there is, I watched, and on the other point about it, is I watched the documentary with, I can't remember what the girl's name is, I think she's called Josie. You know, she was a girl who got, she had the boob job on the NHS.
I remember you saying about her, yeah, I never watched it though.
And if you want like mental resilience, this is, like even like Katie Hopkins, like look at her as well. She puts stuff out.
She's hardcore.
Exactly. So now, and then you've also got to say, what's the difference between these two people? You've got one person who's getting abused every day and she's still laughing. She's putting out content. She's like, well, I don't care. And then you've got, you know, on the flip side of it, I don't know who you are. I've never even, well, I've heard a little mix, but I don't know who the girl is. So I don't know what's been said about her. But, you know, and then this Josie, whatever her name is she got a boob job on the NHS. And she then said, I'm going to sell, was it 4 tickets to watch the birth of my child? Oh, hello. And I'm also going to, I think she said at one point was about to get onto Big Brother. She was going to have potentially have an abortion. And this was her PR. Yeah, I know. It's bad, isn't it? This was her. This was her and her PR manager just said, was basically like, look, the way we're going to get more money is to keep you in the spotlight. And she, you know, in the documentary, she said, I do not care what anybody says about me. I'm not going to read the comments. And the more people talk about me, the more it puts me into the rankings, the more money I'm getting. And, you know, that was, so we've got two people, completely different, but both in the limelight, who are both getting, both getting nailed. And yet we've both got... But in that sense, we're both getting
more
nailed.
Ways than one.
We're both getting nailed with comments, isn't that?
Yeah, sure.
Hey, now you've got one person who's like, I don't care, and the other person who's, oh, it really affects me, and the people around are like, everybody must change. So now when we look at those two people, then we have, you know, then this question is, how is one person handle it, and the other person is, you know, isn't handling it as much? Because, you know, when we talk about stress, there's also that point which goes, there isn't stress in the world, it's just our perception.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then, you know, like this leads into a massive, massive thing is then, you know, then going to the question of what's the environment like, what's been, how, what's the upbringing been like of the child, what's been going on at school, you know, what's the mental resilience training have we been given or have both people had as a child to then, you know, build up to protect for when we get older? Because mental resilience is just like a muscle, isn't it? You know, we've got, if we don't train it, we haven't got it. And if we do train it, then it becomes stronger and stronger. And, you know, I found that quite interesting. I've mostly just blabbled for a few minutes there, but I've got a few other points, but I'll go back over to you, Dave.
All right, mate. Yes. So I wrote some stuff down because it's easy, because such a big, like I say, it's such a big subject, it's easy to get sidetracked, isn't it? Yeah, like I say, a friend, one of the friends, band members on the documentary was saying she wanted to go to the individual people and say, look what you're doing to Jesse. It's not fair. We just stop it. It's awful, right? But, and this is controversial, but I'm going to say it anyway, right? So I'm not trying to upset anyone. I'm just putting it across there. But what about, look at what Jessie is doing to herself, right? And this is, and that, and people are going, whoa, what are you talking about? It's being bullied. But please hear me out. I'm not being cruel.
I agree with you.
Yeah, I'm not being cruel on this. But what I mean by that is, like, she's, you know, she needs to learn a way to be more resilient. What is she doing to, like, say, train them neural pathways in her brain to become more resilient? You know, what's she doing? Hopefully, instead of all, because the documentary weren't really geared around that. It was all around, yes, you know, she had a bit of counselling on there, which was good. It was making her try and like herself more, but it weren't the kind. If I was chatting to her, I'd talk to her very differently than that counsellor would. I'm not a trained counsellor, but I'm sure you would as well. If we had her in a room together, we'd chat very differently to her. But I just think that you've got to, you know, to create that resilience within the way that you think, because that's what it is, isn't it? When I did my NLP practitioner's course a couple of years back, right at the end of the course. So we did it. It was full on. There was lots of emotions flying around, lots of tears and all that. It was powerful stuff.
He was crying.
And at the end of it, you what?
He was crying because the course had ended.
Say again.
Oh, don't mind, David Jones gone.
So he's lost me.
Loads of tears, and I was like, "You're crying because the course has ended."
Well, no, yeah, sorry, mate. Yeah, no, it was deep, man. It was deep, and everyone, it was amazing. It really stripped everyone back to what you know, their I don't know, just it was amazing course. But the guy at the end of it, the instructor, who's brilliant, he said, it was like, right, guys, you know, you're all NLP practitioners now. You've done all your training. You've got all the tools you need to move forward to be able to help the way that you think and help others as well. I was like, yeah, really, really cool. It was amazing. And he said, I'm going to tell you a bit of information now. And you're not going to like this, but you're going to know it's true. And we all sat there and he went, right, you are 100% at all times responsible for the way that you feel. And I was like, wow. And it was true. It is dead true. All of us are all the time. And it's a really tough thing for people to listen to and to accept, but it's so true. So, and because I know that, I reflect on myself quite a lot and how I'm feeling, and it's really good. I don't let things spiral too much, and it's given me a lot of resilience within the way I think. You know, but yeah, but back to Jessie's way of thinking. No, you can't, like, say, how can she go on? They must be followed by hundreds of thousands, millions of people. God knows how many people follow Little Mix and have the accessibility to message directly to the band. With social media and that, there's probably lots of ways where you can go on. I know, like, Jessie, she's on Instagram. I don't follow her on Instagram, but she's on Instagram because she posted on when she's on the documentary. But, like, does she need to be on there? Does she need to be doing that? She's constantly reaching out for people's acceptance. Who gives a, I want to swear and get right into this, but who gives a crap? When you're in that position, and she's made the fame. They're a brilliant band, absolutely brilliant. You know what I mean? And they do crack, do like loads of music. All the music videos are brilliant. They all look gorgeous. They're all very distinctive looking women. And they can all sing and they've got loads of talent and stuff. Who gives a shit about what people think? It's just like, just move forward, move on. Go on, mate.
Yeah, just get your PR team to do your Instagram. Don't even check it. And also, yeah. let's be honest. If somebody said, don't press that red button, what are you going to do?
Oh, it's straight on it, mate.
All right, so loads of people. So if somebody says, please stop bullying me, if we're being blunt here, you're going to get a lot of people who see, please stop bullying me, saying, throw some abuse at me.
Massive chink in the armour. Oh, this will bring it down. Like, yeah.
Oh, it's like, please don't mention me being ginger. And then somebody's like, oh, you ginger twat. Like, oh, just, whoa, what are you doing? Yeah. You know, and it's, and the thing is, let's, you know, and this starts with, like, everyone to go in, you know. So if you're putting something out there, you are going to get a troll, or you're going to get somebody who just doesn't care, and they're going to go, right, please stop. Think about how you're abusing so and so, and somebody's going to write an abusive comment, you know, whether they even think that about you or not. Somebody's going to write it just because, one, it irritates other people. It probably starts a bit of trolling where loads of people comment and they just sit there and they go, oh, I've thrown a bit of bait out.
Makes them feel important, doesn't it? Because they're getting that bad attention. They're like, yeah, brilliant.
Yes. And also as well, if you're putting it out there, you're bringing that to attention. So you're bringing, so, you know, it's like, for instance, let's put it this way as well, is if you buy a car and you've never seen that car you bought, the moment you've got that into your head, you see that car everywhere. Now, if you tell yourself you're being bullied, you're going to see that you're being bullied.
Yeah.
No matter what, whether you're being bullied or not, you know, if you tell yourself, I haven't got time, you're going to find every reason why you haven't got time. Oh, I haven't got so-and-so. Oh, you know, I'm only 5'4" and a half. Oh, I can't really do anything because I'm 5'4" and a half. You're like, oh, no. And it's the same. It's
I'm 4'4" and a half.
Half's important. but you know, and whatever you bring into your mind is going to be there all the time. Now, if you keep telling yourself, I'm being bullied, I'm being bullied, you're putting yourself into a victim mentality as well. Whereas, you know, the opposite is, you know, I'm getting a bit of shit, but it doesn't really matter, you know, and then you can start to grow on it as well. But I think, you know, This, I'm gonna, like, I was reading up on some of this the other day. I haven't read too much research into this yet, so I can't really talk too much about this, but depression rates have soared over the past 30 years, especially in younger people. So, you know, then we have to ask ourselves the question is why? Why are depression rates soaring? Why is everybody thinking, you know, I've got a few opinions on this, and these are obviously my opinions, but, you know, we seem to be in a world now as well where if you don't agree with me, I'm going to shut you down. We can't debate, because if you don't agree with my views, that's it. I don't even want to wear your views. Whereas, you know, so you're constantly looking for confirmation bias. Everybody's telling you the same thing. Now, if everybody's telling you the same thing, you're going to think that way is right, even if it's not right. And you're never going to have the ability to talk to somebody with opposing views. Now, you know, but we just need to look at what's been going on recently. TV shows getting cancelled because there was made in the like 70s, 80s, 90s. It might have a bit of sexism in there, or a bit of, you know, a bit of outlandish comedy, what somebody doesn't like. So, you know, Eminem, yesterday, there was. I read an article saying that they're trying to get Eminem cancelled because...
Madness, mate, yeah.
Because in one of his songs, he said, I'm going to tie you to the bed and set the house on fire. And the song's about an abusive relationship, you know. And it just goes to show that culture we've got now is if you say something I don't like, I'm going to scream and shout until I put you down. Mm. Or, you know, now this is also showing that mental resilience is probably a rock bottom for people, because let's be honest, where we live at the minute, life is easy. You know, we don't have to go out and get it. Yeah, okay, it's harder because we're in lockdown. We've got all these, you know, restrictions at the moment, but we are in the most progressive part of the world ever. You know, we're the most technical, we're the most advanced civilization what's ever been. We've obviously, unless there's aliens kicking around somewhere, but, you know, and we've got, and because life's become so easy, that people aren't putting themselves in stress. The moment we do get a little bit of stress, people melt, you know, start to melt. So, you know, and also as well, like teaching kids that everybody's a winner. You know, like everybody's a winner. You get participation medals. Oh, I can't have stress around little Bobby. Oh, you know, we've only got to keep positive vibes around little Bobby. Where, you know, and it's these little things, where especially like, you know, but a lot of kids aren't doing sports no more. So they're not getting that mental resilience from a coach. They're not getting mental resilience from a team. They're not getting a mental resilience of losing, not being able to do stuff, falling over and having to pick themselves up again. You know, and then in school, we're getting participation medals and being told, you know, I'm fully for the open mindset of you can achieve whatever you set out to be, but you know, we also know that there's certain limits what we've got to work within as well. And now, if you're getting all these young kids going through school believing this, and their expectation is so high of, I, you know, this, and then they leave school and it's like, bosh, it isn't like that no more. And it's like, well, you know, it hasn't been a lot. And I think, I reckon this is one of the points where, you know, why depression started to soar. Also, as well, obviously, technology, social media as well. But, you know, the mental resilience isn't, we're not teaching it, or we're not giving it to a lot of kids when they're younger to then be able to progress through and then be like, you know what? Like, because when we were kids, you know, names, you'd be in a park playing, you'd be falling over, you know, you'd be scrapping. Loads of things would be going on where, you know, you've got to test and adjust all the time. Obviously, I've gone off a little bit of a tangent onto a different area there, but yeah, I reckon that a lot of this is going to come from how we also. So it's mostly our generation, the generation above, but it's a little bit our fault of how we are raising children now, but we're not fully supporting them in a way to go through life's issues, go through life's problems, and then could be like, do you know what? It's only words. It doesn't.
Well, we think we are supporting them. Like, I'm generalizing because I try not to be too much like this for my kid, but we think we're supporting them by looking after them. Like, oh, keep putting you in this safety bubble all the time. Bang, bang, bang. You know, no, come here. Bang, bang. You're constantly trying to drag. I mean, I've got my kid is 14 now, coming up for 15. And you know, if you're not careful, you end up doing this. But sometimes you've got to go, mate. You need to go and find stresses. You need to go and have them relationships that don't work. You need to go and, you know, fall over and smash your knees every now and again. And you need to go through these stresses to grow. But as a parent, sometimes you go, no, I don't want to see you getting hurt. I don't want to see you getting hurt. But the problem is, when you keep doing that, like you say, life isn't, you know, we're these clever animals cutting around on the planet. There's lots of things out there that can hurt you mentally and physically. And if you're not ready for that, it's a big shock. And it, when all these shocks keep happening, because you're not prepared, you're not resilient enough for it, and you're not trained for it, and you've not experienced enough to grow, then you're gonna be folding in half all the time, and life gets too tough, and you become depressed, you know. So what I've found for me is, and it's worked. Obviously, you know, it sounds like we both had quite similar upbringings and stuff, you know. But like, I mean, and we're both, you know, been through commando training and that, which is gonna, and you know, in the force and stuff, is gonna add to your resilience, isn't it? Although I know some lads in the Royal Marines that are quite not very mentally resilient, you know, a lot, tiny bit of pressure, and they're folding in and off. You know, yeah, they've gone through all this physical stuff, and they've been to Afghan and stuff like that. But you know, sometimes they're still not handling pressure very well. But it's so I think it's a constant thing that needs nurturing all the time. Like in my mind, I'll chill out and, you know, get some Netflix on in the evening and chill out a little bit, and maybe eat a bit too much that I shouldn't eat sometimes, and couple too many beers at the weekends or whatever. I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, it is what it is. But I always reflect a lot on, you know, my behavior, you know, the way that I feel, you know, how am I coming across in the world, you know, how am I coming across to other people, and is it how I want to come across? Am I thinking the way that I want to think? You know, am I latching onto thoughts that I don't want to be latching onto? Am I, you know, feeling a bit, you know, but I do try and analyze that a lot within myself, and I'm all, like I say, I'm constantly testing and adjusting all the time. I don't just let it run its course. If I'm not feeling great, I don't let it run its course. I'll analyze it, say, right. And if I have got, like for me, if I've got stresses coming up, and stress, we've all got stresses going on in our lives, you know what I mean? If I've got stresses going on, in a weird kind of way, I tell myself that it's a good thing. I say, this is a good stress I'm feeling now. It's just stress, it's just stuff. And I'll listen to my thoughts, and I'll go, right, you're worrying about stuff. You're being anxious about stuff that's not happened. So I remind myself, Dave, that is your imagination. So you are stressing about your imagination. How weird. And I go, yeah, that's a bit bizarre. Okay, rein it back into the present. How can I change things now? What am I doing now? You know what I mean? Am I handling it well now? Well, I am actually, yeah, because I'm doing A, B, and C. All right, cool. So when I do that, it makes me feel better. Yeah, all right, brilliant. You know, it's looking at these stresses, and they're all different for everybody, obviously, and learning from that stress, you know, don't look at all stresses as a bad thing. Look at it and as something, as a platform to work off. How am I handling this compared to last year when I went through that thing? I'm handling it a lot better, actually. That's good. Why am I doing that? Oh, it's because of A, B, and C. It changed the way that I think about things. Oh, brilliant. That's cool. Let's dig into that more. Let's look at that more, that learning process you did to get stronger. And like I love looking into the old Stoics and stuff. The Stoical thinking is hardcore. I'm going to say a couple of quotes, if you don't mind, from Seneca, you know, who's, you know, 2,500 years ago or whatever. It was, I don't know loads about him, but I like his quotes and that. And I've listened to a bit of his stuff. Pretty hardcore. Some of it is full on, mate. And he was all about, you know, you can control my body, but you won't control my mind. And he was a slave, had his legs broke and all that, living in a confinements of a horrible cell a lot of the time. And he ended up being, he was a Stoic, a philosopher. And he wrote a lot of his stuff down. And his mind, mate, wow, powerful, powerful mind, you know what I mean? And some of his stuff, I just had a little look at some of his quotes then. And one of the quotes, well, I wrote two down that I really like. One of them was, difficulty strengthen the mind as labour the body. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, you've got it, like, and it's all about what we're saying, isn't it? It's about growing through trauma, through difficulties, through hardship. Growing on that in the right direction, you know. So I really like that. And another one of his quotes as well that jumped out at me is, a gem cannot be polished without friction, nor a person without trials. And it's dead true, isn't it? It's dead true. And it's, I think for me, that stoical way of thinking is brilliant. You know, imagine, and I hope someone's doing this with Jessie. I hope they are. I hope she's learning about all this kind of stuff to make her, you know, more resilient. And I hope that people are, because the old Stoics, they had it squared away. You know, it was a long time ago, and they had their shit, excuse my French, in one sock. You know, they were a real powerful way of thinking, and it was great. And if you base a lot of your learnings around Stoicism and that, you don't have to be obsessing with it, but it's good stuff, and it's good stuff to keep tapping into, and it'll always will be for the human race.
There's also that other quote as well. And obviously, it's a lot of it, it's the way I view it, isn't it? It's where, whether, okay, I'm going through hardship at the moment. How am I viewing this hardship? As I mentioned, don't you, you know, not wishing life to be easier, wishing for you to become stronger, to handle the problem, to deal with life's problems. But there's also one which I read before. I can't remember it fully, but it's it was to do with Rome. And they said that within peace becomes weakness. And then it's only when there's war that people become stronger. And it's exactly the same, you know, it's exactly the same as that. When everything's easy, you know, because everything's easy, we then become, let's call it lackadaisy. And then the moment we do get a bit of war, stress, it's like, oh, what do I do here? I've been avoiding stress throughout. I've been avoiding it. I've only been wanting those positive vibes, you know, any positive vibes around me at the moment. You know, and the moment, you know, that we avoid it and then it comes, it hits us like an absolute steam train. And it's nice where people say, if you just sweep under the carpet, the pile grows. Now, if you constantly avoid stress, you're sweeping under the carpet. The moment that stress comes at you, you've got no way of dealing with it. And, you know, I was just going to mention something as well. Obviously, you were speaking about with the kids a moment ago. You know, I get it with, like, you know, when you're speaking about reflecting. You know, I do it with Max and Reese. When we're training in a boot camp, if I notice that they're being a bit soft, I'm like, right, keep going, push more. You know, and I afterwards go, oh, was I a little bit, you know, tough on, or maybe, and then I go, oh, I wonder how people might perceive me on the camera, you know, because, but then I think, you know what, I don't really care because I'm teaching Max and Reese in these sessions when they're feeling a bit tired, when they're feeling a bit, you know, can't be bothered, when they don't want to do that little bit more. You have got more, keep going, you know, it's like, I'll give you an example the other day. Like Reese's foot started to hurt a little bit. And he was like, oh, my foot. Oh, and I was like, would you do this in a football game? No. I was like, so what are you doing it now for? And I was like, and he was like, but my foot hurts. And I was like, it's because you're bouncing on it. You know, when you get a little bit of fatigue in the muscle, don't you? And whereas I was like, my shoulder hurts, my lower back hurts, my leg hurts. And it also got me onto the point as well is, you know, I take them out for walks all the time. I can't be bothered to go for a walk. I want to go for a walk. And I'm like, I don't care. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you want to go. Sometimes in life, you've got to do what you don't want to do. And the moment you get into it, once you break that first barrier, is you'll be all right in 10 minutes. But, you know, we speak to a lot of people and I go, oh, take the kids out for a walk. No, the kids don't like walks. And, you know, I feel like saying, well, just tell them tough shit. You know, you've got to do it because, you know, and this is the same, this to me is a bit of the same mentality. Is that if you constantly let the children do what they want or not do what they want, but
not doing them any favours, man. Yeah.
But we'll say that again.
It doesn't do them any favours, mate.
No, because they haven't got the boundaries. Where if you go, you know what, in life, you've got to do what you don't want to do sometimes. And you know what, this is good for you at the moment. So you're coming out with me and we're going to go for a walk. 10 minutes later, they're happy as Larry, running around. But, you know, because we also want that easier life for us sometimes and an easier life for the kids. You know, we don't always know what's best for us, like confirmation bias. You know, just like children don't know what's best for them. It's, you know, this is where we create those strong boundaries to give that support where, you know, you are getting out, you are going to do this, because once you do the things what you don't like, you know, you start to build these pathways in your head. You start to become a little bit mentally resilient. You become stronger because you are doing what you don't want to do at that time. But, you know, in the long run, it's better for you. Go on.
And we've had that massively hammered into us in the military for the years that you served. And, you know, I'm just coming towards the end of my 22-year career now. And, you know, it's a constant doing stuff a lot of the time you don't want to do. It's like, but then when it comes to other stuff, you're like, yeah, whatever, I'll just get on with it. You know, a lot of my routine, well, every morning for me is, I've just had, you know, before this, freezing cold shower, straight out of bed, freezing, brush my teeth, good toilet, freezing cold shower. I don't want to do that, mate. It's honking. But I know that it's good for my body. It's good for my mind. Bang, and I'm there. I'm ready to go, mate. I'm ready to party. But, you know, you're saying about the that analogy, I suppose you could call it, of Rome and war and people getting soft. You know, we can, because we were chatting about this the other day and I had a bit of a moment. I was like, yeah, that's quite cool. But you could, if what about, instead of on a massive national level or a country level where you're at war, and everyone's getting tougher and, whoa, you know, the stress is there and everyone's growing from it. What about bringing that into an individual level into yourself and realizing that that's when you grow is through pressure, through stress, you know. And when, like, when you're training, you can't be bothered to train. Like, if you're doing,
I couldn't be bothered to train today.
Yeah, no, I'm running a boot camp in 10 minutes. I can't really be bothered, but I'm going to obviously doing it. But like, bringing that pressure on and learning from it. Like, say if you're going for a run and the most you've ever ran is 3 miles, and in your head you're telling yourself, oh, I've only ever done 3 miles. I had this conversation with my girlfriend a little while back. I've only ever run 3 miles and all this. And yeah, but you know, change the way that you talk to yourself. You know, you can't run 5 miles yet because you've not trained hard enough for it. So let's adapt the training a bit. Let's change things up a little bit. Change, you know, you know, some interval training or whatever. And let's slow it all down a little bit and see if we can get you at running a bit longer. And after 3 miles, as far as I'm concerned, when you've done your 3 miles, that's easy because you can always do that. This is where you grow now. This next 2 miles, this is where the magic happens. This is an uncomfortable zone for you. But believe me, this is when you're going to get strong. You know, people go and do these ultra marathons and all that, 150 miles in the desert and stuff like this. You know, it's doable. It's just training. It's training and an absolutely amazing mindset. But that's how we grow, isn't it?
I think it's massive as well. It's having the ability to be able to talk to people with a different view to you.
Yeah.
I think that's massive for growth. You know, I think that, you know, I like to speak to people with different views. There's one guy who I train, I speak to him all the time. He's got a completely different view to me. But if I didn't, like, he's very educated as well, like, really clever guy, really clever. And we speak about so many different topics when we're training, you know. But that's a way that I grow myself in that, because I understand a different point of view to my own. Whereas, you know, and I think that as well, if we do stick in the same view and we constantly try to seek out opinions and voices which match ours, but we also get lost. And then once we do find those voices which are different to us, we're like, whoa, God, whoa. Whereas if we constantly balance it, and it's the same as, you know, like putting yourself through stress. If you can constantly get yourself and put yourself into stress, I don't want to train today. Okay, tough. I'm going to train. Why? Because I'm not training for me today. I'm training for tomorrow. Oh, I don't like what you've just said. Okay, so what?
Move on. Yeah.
On. You know, you take 5 deep breaths, walk away. After you've gone, it's disappeared. You know, now, if you start to think about it, then why am I thinking about this? What's the reasons why I'm thinking about X, Y, and Z? What's the point? Why am I so bothered about what Dave's just said about my hair? It's ginger. Yeah, I know. You know, you look a little bit like Steve McDonald today. Yeah, I know.
Who's Steve McDonald?
It's that guy off Coronation Street, isn't he? Yeah, you do, shut up. Oh, sorry, you only watch documentaries a little mix, don't you?
I'm just on my feet all the time. I love it, mate. Love it. Mate, imagine, mate, back to Jesse. Oh, imagine this. That's what I wanted to say. Jesse Nelson, right? Imagine when she first started getting trolled and bullied, right? Imagine if she was on stage and so after she got all that information, she was like, yeah, whatever. Imagine this. Imagine how this would have changed things. So they've just done a performance, just done the songs, absolutely smashed it. Everyone's going wild. And then Jessie gets a mic and she says, well, I just want to say this, guys. And she turns around, smacks her bum, and looks at the audience in the camera and says, right, some people have been saying that I'm fat. I don't care. I love the way that I look. And for all you guys out there that like a woman with a bit of meat on them, you know, a nice little wink and everyone starts laughing. Imagine how that would have changed the dynamics of everything. Just having that attitude. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, what? Instead of it, you know, you take that, like, you keep, like, joking about being ginger about, and I'll keep joking about being absolutely essence and hench. But, like, you know, when you take that, that power away from people by mocking yourself a little bit, it's like, so what? You know, I'm happy the way that I look. I'm happy the way that I am. Move on. Next, you know, throw something else at me. Whatever. You know,
exactly. I've nailed myself more than you ever can. So it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, your words are irrelevant because I know I'm ginger. I know I'm 4'4" and a half.
And a half. Don't forget the half, mate.
I also know I look a bit like Steve McDonald's and Mick Hucknall's love child as well. But
Mick Hucknall, are you going to get a Brussels sprout on your tooth?
But, you know, and it, like, on that point, I'll go for a quick one before we've got to finish as well. is that, you know, everyone's going, oh, you've got to change everybody else. Change yourself is, you know, let's be honest, you're never going to stop. Like, so everyone's going, oh, we've got to change kids at school. You're never going to stop kids being assholes. Nice. Kids have no filter. You know, yeah. The amount of times I've taken Max and Reese when they was younger, and they've just pointed something out and said it really loud in front of the person. And I'm like, oh. And then people are like, well, you know, it's what kids do. So if we know that kids aren't ever going to change in that way, you're not going to get a four-year-old not to point out somebody's imperfection. You're not going to get an eight-year-old in a group of
people. Right. They've not got the emotional intelligence yet, have they, to exactly. realise the effect on people.
Yeah, they're going to front of a red. So if we can't do that, then we've got to teach our children how they respond to it. So yeah. Then we then
how they internalise. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And then it's like, right, you are this. Okay, this is going to get said to you properly. This might get said. It doesn't matter. You know, you're going to have an argument. I've said to my kids, you've had an argument with your friends. You've said to people what made it that sort of you don't like. They've said it to you. You've got to deal with it. Crack on, yeah. Move on. All right. I can see the time, Dave. We've gone absolutely mad. What do you want to finish on?
I don't know. I would say, you know, because we like to sort of end it on a, you know, how can we help to move forward with this? Like for me, on a personal level, what works for me. So if it works for me, it'll probably work for most of the population, I imagine, because I'm only human, believe it or not. Even though a lot of people think I'm a demigod, like Thor, I'm not. I'm human, right? Four, not three or two. But like for me, if I start my day by seeing myself off and I start in a nice kind of way, I do my breathing exercises, you know, activating different areas of my nervous system that makes me feel amazing. It's good for me. And then I have a freezing cold shower. And now that is hardcore for me. It's hard to anyone to do that. But then, and then I go to work and I'm smiling, I'm buzzing. It takes a lot to get me down. And I go on a mission to spread positive ripples around people that are around me most of the time, because I like to do that. And then watch the things that you spend your time tapping into, like, you know what I mean, like the news, negative people and all that kind of stuff. If someone says something you don't like, so what? It's just an opinion. Realize that we are all different and we all have different opinions, and be happy in your own skin and with who you are. And as well, communicate with people. If someone says something that annoys you, tell them, excuse me, mate, you've annoyed me by saying that. You know, I don't want a full-on conversation with you, but I don't agree with what you said. It's fine. Communicate. Communication is key, man. You've got to communicate with people. Don't expect people to know exactly what's going on in your head, because they don't. I'll leave it there, mate. So I've got to, yeah, go on.
Yeah, I was going to say that. Also, build resilience in yourself.
Yeah.
And build it in your children and others around you. Is, you know, don't say to somebody, oh, you're having a bad time. You know, talk to them. You know, go, oh, okay, how can you respond differently? What can you do? So you help your friends build resilience instead of making out that everybody is victimizing it. You know, I think that's massive. And also as well, having the ability to, you know, to build different, build resilience is to listen to different opinions to yours. You know, put yourself through the stress, as you just said there. Build discipline within yourself. Get up earlier. Exercise when you don't want to. Move. Get outside when it's cold. You know, do those things which are going to make you, you know, we don't grow in comfort. We grow when we're out of our comfort zone. So put yourself out of that comfort zone a little bit. You know, but I think it's been a quite a good talk this, Dave.
Yeah, I liked it, mate. Yeah, and for, you know, people feel free to comment, get in touch with us. Let's you know, let's try and spread this love a bit more, because I think more people need to listen to this kind of talk.
Yeah.
So, my dog's just agreed with me on that as well, because she's fully got a face like that.
Yeah, you've got to love that, and that's it. You know, this is like any other muscle, you've got to build it. And, you know, we just need to look back years, and people were mentally stronger back then because life was harder, and now life's a bit easier. We don't seem to be having that strength as much. You've got to go, Dave.
Yeah. All right, mate, I better go. I've got to do this boot camp. Mate, always good chatting to you, bro. Cheers to that, man.
I'll catch you in a bit, mate. Bye-bye.
Thanks, man. See you later.